There's a lot of different things in the world that people fear. A lot of things that cause them to have sleepless nights and stir them up. And today we're going to talk about what we really should fear. If you will, we're going to have a word of prayer and jump into the Gospel of Luke. Father God, I pray that you would open your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to keep it in context and to rightly divide it. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to apply it to our life, that we would leave here closer to you, more discipled and mature in you through your word and through your spirit. And that's not anything that I do. That's what you do. And Lord, I pray that we would be open to what you say and we would allow it to change our lives, that we would get it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're in chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus had just finished up talking to the Pharisees. And at the end, when Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began opposing him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. And then we'll pick up in chapter 12. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands, you know, when there was the feeding of the 5,000, they gave a number. Here there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. There were so many people, and they wanted to hear what he had to say so much. They were pushing in and trampling on one another. And listen, I don't believe we should trample on one another, but I believe we should hunger for the word. These guys were willing to go out of their way to hear him. They were intentional, and they were seeking to hear what he had to say. And I pray that we hunger to hear what he says like that. Jesus began speaking first to his disciples, saying, I believe verses 1 through 3 are when he's talking through to the disciples. He says, be on your guard. Pay attention. Be alert. Be on guard. Watch out for this. Against the yeast of the Pharisees, the leaven or the yeast. The yeast spreads through the dough, right? It spreads out, it changes it, the dynamics of it, and it sours it. And he says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Watch out what they're spreading. Be on guard against it, which is hypocrisy. Are there hypocrites today? The word comes from an actor who's putting on a mask. Right? They're putting on a mask to pretend to be somebody else than who they really are. That's where the word comes from. Saying one thing and doing another. These Pharisees were saying that they were the religious leaders, that they were leading people to God, that they were steering and turning people to God, and they were following him. But that's not what they were doing. In fact, he was in front of them and they were fiercely fighting him. They were hypocrites. Church, we cannot and should not be hypocrites. I believe this applies just as much to us as it did them. He said, you know, watch out for them. Don't be a hypocrite like they're a hypocrite. And I say, church, do not be hypocrites. If you're going to say you love Jesus, you're going to follow him, then follow him. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I believe, if you keep it in context of what's going on here, I believe he's still talking about hypocrisy. And I believe that hypocrisy gets made known. Often hypocrites are found out, are they not? And it's made known. And it's always for sure known before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He always knows when somebody's just acting and putting on a show and it's all hypocrisy. He knows it is very seen. I believe it's often seen before men. It's always seen before God. We're not called to be hypocrites. They're found out. Some other people also look at this. When it talks about, you know, nothing's concealed, that will not be disclosed or hidden, that will not be made known. And they were talking about the lives of the disciples. You know that people for generations were going to look and critique their lives. What they were going to do and how they did it was going to be critiqued for centuries to come. How they lived. And that everything is seen before God. And they were going to have to proclaim the gospel. Even if they were whispering now, they were going to have to proclaim it later. Verse 4, I believe he starts opening it up to all of them. He says, I tell you, my friends. So I think at this point he's talking to the multitudes. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Are people afraid of those who can kill the body? Are people afraid of people? Yeah. They are. Now, I don't think what he's saying here is go find the biggest dude in the room and spit in his face and see what happens. I don't think that's what he's saying. I believe that we're not to put God to the test, right? That's scriptural. Don't put God to the test. I believe that you should know your surroundings. In fact, coming up, the church, once a year, we have a guy in the church that puts on a self-defense class for the ladies in the class. And one of the things he goes over and over and over is watch your surroundings. Know what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's going on around you. I don't believe here he's saying, go be crazy and reckless. I don't believe that. But I believe what he's saying is if you, he's trying to get their attention, I believe. And he's saying, if you want to look and see and know who to fear, it's not people. What can people do? The worst they can do to you is kill you. Right? And as a Christian, by the way, death is not all that bad because we're going home. Right? We're just aliens and pilgrims passing through death. We go home. It's much better. Paul says better by far better. Right? No more pain, no more tears. My shoulder doesn't feel like it does this morning. None of that. Right? Going home is, it's awesome. When you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we don't need to fear it. So he said, you know, if you're going to be afraid of somebody, don't let it be people. If you want to see somebody you should be afraid of, look at the one with real power. But I will show you whom you should fear. So he points them to the one with real power. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And I'm sure there are people sitting there like, what are you talking about? We teach our kids, Jesus loves me. He's our Abba Father. He loves us. He's full of grace and he's full of mercy. He loved us enough to die on the cross for us. He's proven his love. He's closer than a brother. He's not far from us. He's near to us, right? Are all those things true? Absolutely, they're all true. Is he still sovereign? Is he still big? Is he still full of power? Absolutely. Look, the wrath of man is nothing compared to the wrath of God. The wrath of man is not a drop in a bucket compared to the wrath of God. He's trying to get their attention and say, if you want to be afraid of somebody, look at the one with real power. He can not only, he can kill the body, but he can also mess with the soul and the spirit. He can throw it in hell if he decides, which is a very real place. It's literal. It is not figurative. It is a real place. He said, watch out for the one with real power. Listen, I believe, and we've said this multiple times, I believe we're called to have a reverence, a respect, an awe for him. I think too often people are on one side of the spectrum or the other. Some have him so almost like a judge, that they're afraid of him. They try to keep him at a distance. It's all out of fear. There's their terror of him. And I don't believe that's where we're supposed to be. But some people, and yes, he is a father to us, and he is near to us, but they almost lose reverence for him completely. And he's just like a good buddy, and they treat him with disrespect. And I don't think we should be there either. I think there's a little middle ground here. We should still be in awe of him and have respect for him. But the cool thing is he loves us enough that we can go to Him like our daddy. He goes on, and now he's like, let me show you how much you can trust Him. Look, if you want to respect somebody and have awe for somebody, it's God. Now let me show you how much you can trust Him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? They were pretty common. They were pretty meaningless to people, stuff that we would ignore. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Have you ever thought of that? Sparrows, common sparrows. And He knows every one of them. He knows every deer fly as much as I hate them. He knows them. And even if it's meaningless to us, He knows. He pays attention. You know, I believe that there are a lot of people that feel invisible. You don't have to raise your hand to that, but I believe that there are people who feel invisible. You know, I don't know if you've ever driven into Chicago or been in New York City or even in Columbus. Sometimes you drive in and there's traffic everywhere and there's people everywhere and you're like, man, I am just a speck. I want you to know that you are seen by the one that truly matters. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your struggle. He knows every tear that's ever fallen. He knows you. He knows you better than you know you. He knows every cell in your body. He knows you. You are not invisible to Him. If you're one of those people that feel like you're invisible and you just blend in and nobody sees you, I'm telling you again, to the one that truly matters, you are very seen and He knows you and He loves you dearly. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For some of us, it takes less to know that. Every hair on your head is numbered. He's saying, I know you. He knows every star in the universe by name, and He knows every hair on your head. He knows you and He loves you. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many, many sparrows. You know that He proved that we were worth more than that. You know the price He paid for us, right? 1 Corinthians 6:20, I believe it is, says, you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. The price He paid for us is priceless. It's the blood of God. You can't get more. You can't get bigger. You can't ask for more. That is the ultimate. And He paid the ultimate price for us, the blood of His Son, the blood of God. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges Me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge Him before the angels of God. That is a much more powerful, meaningful audience. He's saying, you know what? If you acknowledge Me before people, I will acknowledge you before, you know, the angels. And I believe that is in word, but I believe it is also in our life. It's in our actions. But he who disowns Me before men. Do people disown Him, by the way? Are people embarrassed by Him? Push Him away, don't want to acknowledge they ever had anything to do with Him. Especially in certain crowds, they want to act like they don't know Him. Oh, that is a scary place to be, man. I think that is a very scary, scary place to be. When you're more worried what people think than what He thinks. When you're worried about the empty praise of men and you have the fear of man and you would disown the King of Kings before men, that is a scary place to be. I pray you are never there. I pray you are solid on what you believe, no matter the cost, even if it costs you everything and everyone, that you stand for Him. You live for Him. But he who disowns Me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. I believe that does not need me to expound on that for long. That is black and white. That is plain as day. Then we get to verse 10. What do you do with verse 10? And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man again is Jesus, just making sure we're all clear, will be forgiven. So if you speak against Jesus, but you truly repent and you ask for forgiveness, can you be forgiven? Yeah. But anyone who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What do you mean I won't be forgiven? I mean, isn't his blood bigger than all things? I mean, didn't he die to forgive us? What do you mean he won't forgive me? What do you mean I won't be forgiven? Now it's on. You mean there's something I can do that he won't forgive me for? Back in Mark chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, I'll say this. It says this, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. What was going on, if you look at the context, is they were attributing to Satan the work of God. They were saying that the work that the Holy Spirit was doing through Jesus, they were giving that credit to that work to Satan. They were attributing the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. So, what is the one thing that you can do that he won't forgive? Isn't it not accepting Christ as your Savior? If you refuse Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not be forgiven of that because it was his blood that forgives you. Am I wrong? So if you refuse Jesus, if you turn your heart from him, if you reject him and you won't accept him into your life, his blood won't cover you because God won't force him on you, right? He wants you to choose to love him. He's not going to force you to love him. So if you refuse him, he's going to give you what you want. If you don't want to be near him, he will give you what you want, and he will keep you away from him. And distant from God, away from God, is what we call hell. Ends in a lake of fire, but it's absence of God is hell. The presence with God is what makes heaven heaven. And I know I've talked about that, so I'm not going to hang here for long. So it's when you reject Jesus, when you reject God, when you don't want him, you don't want to be near him, you won't accept his grace or his mercy. So what is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit about? I believe it's when you get to the point that you reject Jesus so much that you are willing to call his work and give it credit to Satan. You reject Christ so much. You reject the Holy Spirit so much. You're so seared. You turn from him so much that you won't have anything to do with him. And you attribute the power that God has to Satan. You're that against him. You've rejected him that much. I pray that there's not a person here that doesn't know Jesus. I pray that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and that they would love him with everything they have. If more than anything else, I've said this over and over and over, people are sick of hearing it. That's what I want for my children, more than anything. More than anything. More than a great education, more than money, more than fame, more than anything. I want them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Be sold out to Christ. And I want that for you, and I want that for your children, I want that for your family, I want that for the churches around us, I want that for the community, because when it comes down to it, when it's all said and done, it's all what you do with Jesus. Verse 11 and 12. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how to defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So does that mean as a pastor I don't have to worry about studying for Sunday morning? I just walk up and wing it. He'll say it for me, right? Paul in 2 Timothy said this, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. He was told to be prepared in season and out of season. 1 Peter says this, 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. That's the first thing you do. In your heart you set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. When? Always. all the time. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So what is Jesus saying here? He says, don't get wigged out about it. If you get pulled in, you don't always have time knowing that, the authorities are going to come drag me out of my house tonight and put me on trial for what I believe in. They didn't always know when that was going to happen. There are people around the country, around the world today, that is still real. They're still being persecuted and imprisoned and losing jobs and losing family members and even their life for what they believe in. This is still very real to a lot of people around the world. And he's saying you don't have to worry about it. Because can you imagine that pressure, knowing that tonight I might get dragged out of my house at 2:00 in the morning and face people with guns pointing at me saying, what do you really believe? And you're like, what would I say in that case? He's saying you don't have to worry about it because I am with you. You can trust me. I've got you. I will speak through you. If you're open to me, I'm going to speak through you. It's okay. I believe what he's saying is you can trust me. Trust me. I will finish this up quickly. It's not even 10 o'clock yet if you're worried. And I'll finish this up quickly. At least not by that clock. It's close, but not by that clock. One, 3 points. Fast. Ready? They were told to be aware of, to be on guard, to avoid, to fear, if you will, hypocrisy. We should not be hypocrites. We should be who we say we are. And my goal is that when they see us, they see glimpses of Him. They see His Spirit living through us. Please do not be fake. One of the stories that just aches at my heart when I hear people say, and it wasn't about this church in particular, it's just churches, people dog churches, and that's one of the great excuses they use. They're just all hypocrites, right? That's what they say, right? But one of the things that just makes me ache is somebody was telling me a story of how nice somebody was to them in church, and they saw them in Walmart or Kroger's or something, and they acted like they didn't know them. I'm like, dude, that is not who we are. We're a church family inside the church and outside the church. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Two, I pray that you have a reverence for Him, a respect for Him, an awe for Him. I want you to be close to Him. I want you to love Him. I want you to know that He's near, that you can go to Him as your daddy in heaven. But I want you to have respect for Him. Have reverence for Him. He is still the sovereign King. Three, I told you I'd do it fast. I pray that you know that you can trust Him. He sees you, and He knows you, and He loves you, and you can trust Him. I don't know what your world's going through right now. I don't know how chaotic it is. I don't know how big the giants are that you're facing. I don't know how bad the storms are that you're in the midst of. It's a fallen, messed up world. But I can tell you that the God that we serve is true and trustworthy, and He is bigger than anything you face. So don't fear this world. Don't fear the things of this world. Don't cave in fear to this world. Trust the One who's bigger than the world. Share with this world what it really needs, and that's not more politicians. It needs more Jesus. No matter the cost, stand for Him. He's trustworthy. Father God, I pray that you'd help us to be your people and to be your church. And I pray it'd be for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you will, please stand.